lots of exciting stuff today. I'm going to talk about Korah. There's a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to talk about that we'll talk about in Midrash about Korah. I was reading Aish, looking for something to talk about this week, and I got stopped by the title of an article by Rabbi Mordecai Schiffman, who I don't know. And the title was, "Would You Rather Be Right or Happy?" That stopped me. And he has a second article talking about unhealthy conflict. And then Rabbi Sachs has an article on how not to argue. So I figured that since Korah is all about arguing and contention and so forth, that's what we would talk about. Give you some context. This is after the spies got sent into the land and bounced, and God says that this generation, everybody 20 years old and up, is not going into the land. You're going to die in the wilderness. You're going to be here for 40 years, and your sons and daughters will go in. That follows on the sin of the golden calf. And you remember at the golden calf, what happened was the Levites got extracted from the nation Israel to serve around the tabernacle. So what's happened here is there's been two groups of people who have been excluded from leadership and excluded from influence, and they're grumpy. And if you look at the way the camp is laid out, the Kohathites, where Korah comes from, is in that southern camp. That's where the Reubenites are. And Reuben is the firstborn of Jacob, and he gets passed over for firstborn in favor of Judah and Joseph. So what you've got down in that southern camp is all sorts of resentment going on. Add to that, we got taken out into the wilderness on the promise that we were going to the promised land and we were going to get land flowing with milk and honey. That's not going to happen, at least not to them. So what you've got is massive resentment down in that southern camp. And you've also got in that southern camp murmuring, chattering. Everybody saying just how unfair life is. And since they can't get at God, they go after Moses. So that's the situation that we're dealing with here. And Moses, to his great credit, tries to calm things down twice. The first things he does is says, all right, what we'll do here is everybody bring your censer before the Lord. God will choose who he wants. Perfectly reasonable. It turns out to be fire pans at the old Mishkan, where nobody's going to walk out of this alive except the one that's chosen. But that isn't, I don't think, the way Moses originally intended it. He intended it as a way to diffuse the situation. And then the second thing he does is he calls to Dathan and Abiram and says, come on up here, let's talk about this. And we get this, we will not come up. Moses is a Levite. We talked about this a couple times ago. Moses got a temper on him. So he's tried to diffuse this twice. He's been sort of slapped down both times. So at that point, his Levite temper rises up, and then we get the business with the earth splitting and so forth. So that's sort of the backstory of all of this. The two rabbis that I read, Schiffman and Sachs, were talking about two kinds of argument. The first kind is what's called argument for the sake of heaven, and the other is argument that's not for the sake of heaven, and Sachs would say argument for the sake of power. Now, argument for the sake of heaven is healthy. We're all different. We all disagree about stuff. In Midrash, we thrash things back and forth. Often people don't agree with what I have to say. That's all fine. We do lunch. That's argument for the sake of heaven. What we're trying to do is find the truth of something important. Notice what I said there. The truth of something important. James is a lawyer. A legal trial is an adversarial process. You have two attorneys arguing with each other. And then at the end of the day, they'll go out and do lunch, because what they're trying to do is argue for the sake of figuring out the truth of something important. Another example would be debate. Our daughter was in speech and debate when she was going through high school. We train people how to debate. And the idea of a debate is this is an argument about something important for the sake of figuring out what's true. That kind of argument is perfectly healthy and is encouraged. That's why we do Midrash, because in this particular venue, I'm talking and you're listening, I hope. There, we wrestle back and forth. Completely different process. So, that's argument for the sake of heaven. That's not what's going on in today's Torah portion. What's going on in today's Torah portion is argument for the sake of power. The contention here is because Korah and his crowd want power. Moses and Aaron have it, and they want it. And Moses gives the game away when he says in verse 10, number 16:10, would you seek the priesthood also? He's talking to Korah. So he's saying, Korah, you're a Levite. You've got a job in the temple. God has brought you close. That wasn't enough for you? You want the priesthood too? The other thing that you can see when you have an argument for the sake of power is you can always tell what people are looking for based on what they accuse you of. Dathan and Abiram, down in verse 13. We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up from a land flowing with milk and honey, Egypt, to kill us in this wilderness? In other words, you brought us out, and not only that, that you must make yourself a prince over us. We think that your motives are impure. You simply want to be the ruler over all of us, which is a hint at what they're really looking for. They're looking for power and influence themselves. We see that, by the way, and Sachs brings this out. We see that in cancel culture today, and he's talking in the context of a university. And theoretically, a university should be a place where you have arguments for the sake of heaven. You have scholarly people who have studied a subject and they argue about it with the intention of figuring out what's true. That doesn't happen much anymore. Now what we have is, we don't want to hear your opinion, so we're going to cancel you. We're going to cancel your speech. We don't want you coming into our university talking to us. And by the way, if you study this subject, we're going to ruin you. Those are arguments for the sake of power. They're not arguments for the sake of heaven. So what does all that have to do with us? Everything. Schiffman has a quote from the Mishnah, which I like very much. Within the context of the laws of tithing, the Mishnah informs us there are two types of almonds. Remember what kind of fruit Aaron's rod brought forth? Almonds. There are two types of almonds. Those that are bitter when they are small and sweet when they develop. And those that are sweet when they are small and bitter as they grow bigger. So, let's talk about Lashon Hara. Some of you may be new. Lashon Hara is a Hebrew term, means evil tongue. And Lashon Hara is typically, in the Bible, regarded as gossiping and murmuring. And the key thing about Lashon Hara is you are saying something that is true, but is harmful. So if I were to say, my wife keeps a messy house. She does not. She keeps a very nice house. But if I were to say that and it were true, what I would be doing would be tearing her down in front of somebody else to build myself up. That's an argument for the sake of power. Because what I want to do is build myself up at her expense. Give you a silly example. Let's say that you're at a dinner party. Now, you all know that the fork goes on the left side of the plate, the knife and the spoon go on the right side, the dinner fork goes inside, the salad fork goes outside, and the fish fork goes on the top. Y'all know that, right? It does, trust me. So you walk into this hostess's house, and you discover that the forks are on the right side. Do you look at her and say, oh my goodness, you've put the forks on the wrong side? There is a circumstance where you would do that. And the circumstance is, you are entertaining the Queen of England, and you don't want her to be embarrassed when the Queen gets there with the fork on the wrong side. Then that's an argument for the sake of truth. If, on the other hand, the Queen is not going to be there, and you mention that, what you've done is you've sown discord at the party to build yourself up at the expense of the hostess. And, oh, by the way, if you are training your daughter how to set a table, then, yeah, when she puts it on the wrong side, you tell her you put it on the wrong side and you correct her, because that's your job, teaching her how to set the table properly. But as I say, wandering into Erev Shabbat at somebody else's house and looking at the table and saying, oh my goodness, this woman doesn't know how to do anything. She's put the forks on the wrong side. That's Lashon Hara. Notice that what you said is true. It is, in fact, proper to put the forks on the left side, and she didn't do it. So you have not spoken a lie, but what you have done is you have damaged the relationship. You have eaten a small almond that is sweet when you eat it, but is going to grow into something bitter. That's what we're talking about here. The idea that as you speak and you deal with people, sometimes the truth is not what you want to say, because sometimes the truth is damaging. Remember, I started off by saying that arguments for the sake of heaven are arguments about something important. Unless the Queen of England is coming to the dinner party, the location of the forks is not important. Therefore, you wouldn't say anything. So I'm going to change Rabbi Schiffman's title. He said, would you rather be right or happy? In the past, I've talked to you about happiness versus peace. Remember, happy is an emotion, peace is a state of being. I would say, would you rather be right or have peace? I like that title better, because most of us have this sense of, I'm right, and by golly, I'm going to correct everybody around me to get them to be right. And that's damaging mostly. There's situations where it's important, as if you're training a child. You know, if you're an English teacher and you're teaching a child, you correct his grammar. If you're in a social occasion and you're talking to somebody, you certainly don't. Truth is not always the highest objective. In many cases, peace is higher than truth. So as you go out and talk to people and discuss things and so forth, boy, if we're in Midrash and you think I'm full of cornflakes, leap all over me. That's what Midrash is for. We're trying to find out what's true about this. And if I'm wrong, I will raise my hand and say, you're right and I'm wrong. I've done that before. If I'm right, I'm going to argue with you. We'll duke it out back and forth, but at the end of the day, we'll do lunch. Because what we're looking for is the truth about something important. If, on the other hand, I say something that belittles you, then I'm wrong, even if it's true. There's one other article on Aish. I didn't read the article, but I loved the title. You were right. Now apologize.